So what caused tonight's shiur was a shiur that happened to myself. That a couple of weeks ago, I was away for Shabbos at a family simcha, and the Shabbos morning, so they had a kiddush after davening. I wasn't really eating at the kiddush after davening, so whatever I was doing. Then a little bit later, when they started lunch, so I hadn't yet made kiddush, so I was looking around, scrounging around to try to make kiddush on something. So usually I try to make kiddush on wine, which we'll talk about a little bit later, why maybe perhaps that's preferable to grape juice. So I usually make kiddush on wine. I didn't see any wine around the table, so I wasn't going to go run around searching to watch for wine. But there's grape juice on the table. So I poured myself a couple of grape juice. I picked up a couple of grape juice. I started saying Vashom. I was in the middle of saying kiddush. And then one of my kids came running over to me. They said, Abu, just brought you a bottle of wine. We were looking for the wine. So I was right smack in the middle of already saying kiddush. And the question was threefold. So there were three different parts of the shaila. First of all, what's better to recite kiddush on? Is it really truly better to recite kiddush on wine rather than grape juice? The second factor was the particular bottle of wine that was brought to me happened to be white wine. So that may, the grape juice was purple, red, whatever it's called, the grape juice. That's another potential factor. And the third factor was that, is that a halachic issue that once you're already starting something, you're already holding the cup of X in your hand, even if wine may be better, which not even real convinced that's true, we'll hopefully see as we go on, is that the right thing to do, is that the wrong thing to do? That gets into be almost like a disgrace to a mitzvah. You're about to do a mitzvah with object number one, and then you're going to stop to do object number two. On the other hand, if you really believe that object number two is better suited for the mitzvah, maybe that would be the appropriate thing to do. So there are three independent shailas that all converge together, and I had to decide all of them before I finished saying B'Sham Room. So that was the goal. So I think there's a rule called like Shev Atas Adif. Like, you know, if you're not sure what to do, so you stay put. So all of a sudden, a whole bunch of things started to swirl around in my mind. At the time, I made a mental note to myself, I have to give a shiur about this sometime. So the time has come. So we'll try to give a little bit of a shiur, try to familiarize ourselves what the issues were in this particular shiur. So the sugya begins with a gemara in Maseches Bava Basra, a very, very strange place for anything to have to do with Kiddush. And yet, 99% of the halachas governing the wine that's acceptable for Kiddush appears in Bava Basra. What in the world is doing in Bava Basra? It's in Berach HaMelech HaPeiros. The Mishnah is talking about if you sell fruit, it's really, it's Bava Basra, it's dealing with the middle problem, we're dealing with the Hilchos Mekach HaMemker, buying and selling. So the Mishnahis begin to speak about, if I sell fruit to somebody and then I'm cheating him in the process, or I tell you wine, the wine isn't so good, and back and forth, and back and forth. So all the halachas of wine that goes sour, since the vinegar, appear there, and all the context of Kiddush, and Chazal sticking for a whole blot, all the intricacies of wine for Kiddush. So the Gemara makes the following statement, Yom HaRava. Sochid Adam Eshkol Shel Anavim, V'Omer Lav Kiddush Hayom. A person can literally squeeze a bunch of grapes and just extract the juice, the grape juice, and recite Kiddush. Now, the Gemara does not mean to say you could do that on Shabbos. Actually, doing that on Shabbos is an issur skila, but that's a side point. It means Erev Shabbos. Before Shabbos starts, you soak it enough, you squeeze out the bunch of grapes, and you can recite Kiddush. Now, what's the Kiddush? Isn't that obvious? Well, it's not at all obvious. Maybe one could have argued, that's not wine. The halacha is that Kiddush has to be recited on a cup of wine. Now, truth to be told, there is a machlokas of Rishonim, whether the requirement of Kiddush on wine is min HaTorah, but min HaTorah, the fulfillment of Kiddush can be done with words alone. The source for Kiddush in the Chumash is Zochus and Meshabbos to Kacho, but that pasuk doesn't mention wine. The pasuk just says to talk about Shabbos. So according to most opinions that we accept La Halacha, min HaTorah, Kiddush doesn't require anything. Not wine, not grape juice, nothing. Just get up and say, Mechushbam, say, Mekadosh Shabbos, say something about Kiddushas Hayom, and that's good enough mid Araisa. That was what led Rabbi Kivega to his fascinating suggestion that maybe when you wish somebody good Shabbos, maybe you get to Kiddush. You mentioned Shabbos. So whether that is or not true, that's a big question. But Ruba the Ruba, most of the poskim assume that Kiddush min HaTorah does not require wine, but Midraban it does. Lemaisi, you don't fulfill your obligation unless you make Kiddush ala Yayin. So one could have argued Yayin means it has to be a little bit intoxicating. That's a lot full in it. You just squeezed out some grape juice a minute ago. That's not wine, that's grape juice. So Kamash Blood Rubber, that's okay. That's all right. That one can recite Kiddush on a cup of what we would call today, of course, a grape juice. So just because the Gemara says that you can recite Kiddush on grape juice, does that mean it's preferable? Does that mean that you yotze? But is there some reason to believe that perhaps it's not the best thing to recite Kiddush over? So there is a fascinating comment of the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch is fascinating on many, many different levels. He's fascinating because we don't know who he was. It's not clear who wrote the Sefer altogether. It's fascinating. We know when he wrote it. We know he lived in Barcelona. He identifies himself as a Levi from Barcelona in that period of time around the Rashba, right after the time of the Ramban. So we know approximately when he lived. We know where he lived, but we're not quite sure what his name was. For many years, it was assumed that he was the Ra'or, Rabbi Aaron Levi, who was a Talmud of the Ramban. And then in later years, it was most probably assume that's not correct, that he was a contemporary of that period, but not exactly. We still do not know who he was. It's a fascinating sefer for the reason that he wrote the sefer. He writes in the introduction that what prompted him to write the sefer was very simple, that on Shabbos afternoon, he said it was a big waste that he saw his son and the kids, the friends, were just walking around, playing around, doing all kinds of things in Shabbos that weren't so productive, little kids. So he figured, let me get them something exciting to learn. So write a sefer. So he wrote a sefer according to the Parsha Shavua, all the mitzvahs. He doesn't write whether they actually read it or not. He writes that. That was the impetus for the sefer. He wanted to entertain the kids a little bit, to do something a little bit more productive on Shabbos afternoon. So in the Sefer HaChinuch, he always gives you a little bit of synopsis of the mitzvah. Then he gives you a little bit of the reason, a little bit of the philosophy behind the mitzvah. So here he's talking about the mitzvah of Kiddush in the second of the Ma'amakamos. Mishoshim mitzvazu. What are some of the reasons for reciting Kiddush? Kiddush in the Sora mitoch ma'isazeh l'skot gdulas hayom. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to get really excited, to awaken ourselves, to get all, you know, all enthused about the significance of Shabbos. By doing so, so then we will establish in our heart, we'll strengthen our hearts to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Baruch Shem Ha'aretz and the Chiddush Ha'olam, etc. So in theory, we could have done that without a mitzvah of Kiddush, we just kind of observe Shabbos, not do anything, so that's not what the Halacha wants. The Torah wants us that we should do something actively. And this is a common theme in the Sefer Chinuch, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us just to sit around and philosophize about truth. So we don't sit around Pesach night and just contemplate Yetzias Mitzrayim. We eat matzah, we eat moror. We don't sit around in Rosh Hashanah and just talk about Malchus Shemayim. We blow the shofar. Every Yom Tov, every time we have, every event we have, there's a mitzvah Maisias, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created our psyche in such a way, that when we do actions, the actions impact on what our thoughts are going to be. So that's what the Sefer Chinuch says here as well, that the goal of saying Kiddush is to get us excited, to get us to think, to build up what Shabbos is all about. And therefore, the Sefer Chinuch continues, therefore, we're supposed to recite Kiddush with Yayin. Now again, it doesn't necessarily mean that in the Torah it's with Yayin, but the reason why the Chachamim wanted us, Dafka, to say Kiddush on wine, not just to get up and just talk about Shabbos, that's not enough. Says that wine has the ability to wake a person up a little bit, wake him up or sleep, put him to sleep, depending on how much he has. But it gives a little bit of this onus, a little bit of an excitement. It's something that fills you a little bit, and then it gives a little bit of joy. And the Sefer Chinuch tells us that based on what a person's awakening, what a person's excitement, or a person's actions that he does, is going to impress upon him, it's going to strengthen the philosophical truths of any given mitzvah. Now we understand the reason for making Kiddush on wine is la'oras adam, to wake the person up, to give him a little bit of Islam, a little bit of enthusiasm. Now we understand why Amu Zichron Levracha b'Gemara, the Gemara seems to say, according to many opinions, that let's say a person is not particularly in the mood for wine, he wants to have a piece of challah, he's hungry, he wants to have a piece of challah on Friday night, so you can make Kiddush on challah as well. There are two different opinions of Rishonim about this. One group of Rishonim holds that you can make Kiddush on bread. There's nothing wrong with making Kiddush on bread if you're hungry, if you're more hungry than you're thirsty. And the other group of Rishonim says you cannot recite Kiddush on bread at all. So our custom is that we only recite Kiddush on bread under very, very extenuating circumstances. B'shas al chagadol, and there's no wine, there's no grape juice, there's nothing around, nebuch you're stuck, then you can recite Kiddush on bread. So we follow the view that Kiddush HaMed is not the greatest thing. But Sefer Chinuch was working with the opinions that Me'ikra Din, it's okay, and it may even be preferable if the person's really hungry. So he says, why is that? Why did Chazal set up this model that you make it wine, you make it bread, depending on how hungry you are? So he says, very simple. Because if he's hungry, he's going to be much more excited about bread than he is about the wine. And therefore, if the whole goal of making Kiddush on some item is la'oras alev, so some people want to do the trick, other people bread will do the trick. So that's the rationale of this halacha. So this Sefer Chinuch, by focusing on that characteristic, that quality of wine, that it's something which is so edem sameach, that seems to throw a little bit of a question as to where grape juice fits into this picture. I mean, grape juice, you know, is made from the grapes, and maybe we recite Yibar Prayer Lofet on it, but it doesn't have that characteristic of Soda B'Sameach. Let's say, according to many opinions, one cannot fulfill necessarily the bits of Simchas Yontif with grape juice. According to many opinions, you can't fulfill Simchas Purim with grape juice. That's really a whole loaded question. So grape juice is like wine, but not in areas where Simcha is necessarily required. So when the Sefer Chinuch is putting this dimension of Kiddush, it's supposed to have that idea of Soda B'Sameach, La'oras HaLev. Maybe one could argue that would lead us to believe that yes, one can fulfill Kiddush with grape juice, but maybe one has a choice between grape juice and wine, one should opt for wine. So if you just had literally two cups in front of you, one choice of regular grape juice, one cup of regular wine, so probably based on the Sefer Chinuch, it would be better to get one to fulfill the mitzvah with grape juice, but maybe it would be l'chadchila to recite the Kiddush on one. But now there's a whole other dimension of the Shaila. The mention that particular wine happened to have been white wine. So is there any reason to believe that white wine is any different than any other kind of wine? So the Gemara has a whole discussion about this also with that same daf in Maseches Bava Basra. The Gemara has a discussion about white wine, and it's not clear what the conclusion of the Gemara is. The Gemara says something about white wine being disqualified for something, but it's not clear what the Gemara was talking about. Was the Gemara talking about Kiddush? That's a submission I've learned. Or was the Gemara talking about a totally different mitzvah to do with wine? That's the mitzvah of l'nasech agabi ha-mizbeach. There's a halacha that when you bring certain karbanos, they have to be accompanied by wine libations on the mizbeach. So there are certain halachas that govern that one. The Gemara even has a little bit of a comparison between the two. The Gemara says some of the dinim of nisa chayayin spill over to Kiddush as well, which is just an interesting hashkafa piece. It gives you a little bit of a context of what a Shabbos table is supposed to be like. And a Shabbos table is like a mizbeach, like a beis hamikdash. So we have to look for the kind of wine that we would normally bring in the mizbeach. It's really a very, very powerful message in hashkafa. But that's part of the shaila that there's a big machlokes in Rishonim can even have mevusha wine for Kiddush. So I'm going to give a hakel on that, but not everyone agrees to that, and that's part of the reason why. So in the middle of that sugya, the Gemara that says something about white wine. It's not clear what exactly it says. So the Shulchan Aruch in the third of the Marmikomos quotes a machlokes in Rishonim, mekachet al yayin lofen. So the first opinion says that you can make Kiddush on white wine. There's nothing wrong with that. The Ramban posts on the Kiddush, I feel a bit dievet, that the Ramban's opinion was that you cannot recite Kiddush on white wine. Even with dievet, you wouldn't fulfill the mitzvah. But even the Ramban would concede that you can recite Havdalah on white wine. What's the difference between Kiddush and Havdalah? So here the Gemara tells us in Maseches Pesachim that for Havdalah, there's a little bit of a clue. It's called Chamar Medina. Now, let's say a person can't get grapes, can't get wine, and there's some other kind of beverage around. So certain other kind of beverages are also acceptable with the Abbot for Havdalah. The Gemara talks about the possibility of baking Havdalah on beer or other kinds of things. There's a whole big discussion in the postgame, what is considered to be included at Chamar Medina, what's not considered to be Chamar Medina. Again, most of this is not relevant for us because that whole concept of baking Havdalah and other kinds of beverages is really reserved for people who don't have grapes and wine. Baruch Hashem, we have plenty of wine. They say that the Chafetz Chaim didn't have, for many years, didn't have enough money to buy wine for a Kiddush. Chafetz Chaim used to make Kiddush on challah very, very often. Some of you may remember the old benchers. I'm talking about like when I was a little kid. So the benchers used to have the text of Kiddush, and they would have one column would be Bar Pri HaGafen in Kiddush, and the other would be Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz in Kiddush. They took them out from Europe when the people were still making Kiddush on challah. So again, under normal circumstances, we don't do that anymore. So under normal circumstances, one should not recite Havdalah on other beverages as well. There are a couple of Havdalahs during the course of the year that some people have for totally different reasons, perhaps to still bring back to life that old practice of making Havdalah on other kinds of beverages. There are some who may want to do that during the 9 days, since we have a minig, Ashkenazi custom is not to drink wine during the 9 days, even though the Ramah really permits it for Havdalah, because Havdalah is a kosher mitzvah. So whatever is a yayin shal mitzvah, like let's say we have bosa v'yayin at Asiyam, we have bosa v'yayin on Shabbos in the 9 days. So Meikra Din, one is allowed to drink the Havdalah, grape juice Havdalah wine during the 9 days. There are more rights. As a minhag, it's better to give it to a child. If you don't have to drink it, you give it to a child. There's no child around, then you're allowed to drink it yourself. So there's some who didn't want to get involved in that. They just made Havdalah on other beverages on the 9 days. So it's not really right to do that, because the whole making of Havdalah, other drinks, is really, really a bidiyah. It's really you have to have no other choice. We have a choice. The choice is do what the Ramah says. Either give it to a kid or drink it yourself. There are some who have the practice that they make Havdalah Motzei Pesach on beer. That's based on a totally a different board. That's based on a combination of factors. Some who say, because that's like a hiddur, because the person is plotting the whole week, he has that beer for 8 days. So he said, for him, a cup of beer, wine, he's already been drinking, he's trying to get ready with the wine for the last 8 days. He wants a good cup of beer, so that's considered like a chivav, like a hiddur mitzvah a little bit for him to go for the beer. And then there are some who follow the practice of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon held that you should dafka, eat chametz as soon as Pesach is over, to indicate that the reason why I refrain from chametz the whole week is not because I don't like chametz. I love chametz. I'm plotting. I'm looking at my watch. The second job is over. I'm ready to go drink beer. Okay, Baruch Hu said, you can't have chametz. I don't have chametz. That shows that that the whole reason why you refrain from chametz as a mitzvah of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So some people have that practice. In Europe, that was a practice. Some people in America have that practice that they'll make Abdullah Motzai Pesach beer. There are problems where they get it from. So they got a non-Jew who's going to bring you the beer. I remember when I was a little boy, so the Shamus in Shul, they make Abdullah on, I don't know if you remember, Mefarkas, before your time. So he was an old European man who basically ran the Shul when I was a little boy. So he would always make Abdullah Motzai Pesach in Shul on beer. I remember right after Myra, so the non-Jewish custodian would always come running into the shul. Everyone knew that was the son. He would come running into the shul with a bottle of beer, hand it over to Rabbi Farkas, and he would get up and he would make a shakal, he would go and make Abdullah on the beer. So in America, that minig is not so popular anymore, but that minig has been revived, being very, very makpit to have chametz as soon as Pesach is over. That's where the Mishagask and the pizza store started from. Being not even the chaskos, they're all fine, the minig agra. That's why everyone goes to stand in line. They want to be yes, they want to have pizza as soon as Yantam is up. Okay, anyway, back to the story.
Is this
Kiddush during the day? Kiddush. No,
Kiddush
at night.
So Kiddush during the day, you can have.
So the Shulchan Aruch here was quoting the Shittas Ramban vis-a-vis Kiddush at night. This whole sim is told by Kiddush at night. And he quotes both opinions. And he says, for Abdullah, for sure, it would be okay. It's still worse than Chamar Medina. So on the spot, Rabbi Kivega says that the same would be true for Kiddush in the daytime. And even those who don't like to make Kiddush on white wine at night, so then in the daytime, there are more grounds to be made for, because in the daytime, it's no worse than Chamar Medina, so to speak, as well. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Minigo Oilam Kisfar Rishana, that the Oilam is no way like the first view. Because we hold Mikra Din, that you're allowed to make Kiddush on white wine. That's what the Ikra did. But nevertheless, the later poskim do point out, it's not Poshut that way. Ramban's not something to make light of. And therefore, if all else is equal, if you have two bottles of wine in front of you, one's red, one's white. So for Kiddush, at least on Friday night, it's preferable to make on red wine. If the poskim says that guy really likes the white wine better, so that he can rely on the minhag ha'olam. The Shmir Shabbos can also quote some achronim who say, that maybe this whole Chumash Ramban doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh. Maybe today a white wine is just as good as a red wine. Why is that? Where did this idea come from that the white wine is no good? My hype comes from grapes, out of Kamina, whether it's white or it's red. So the Samach Renim write that apparently in the times of Chazal, the white wine was an inferior quality wine. That was considered to be the highest quality of wine. So some posts can say that the guy bought a $150 bottle of very fancy white wine, and you tell them, no, that you can't use. You can use the 2.5% bottle of wine that tastes like cough syrup that costs you $3. That's okay because it's red wine. But the $500, fancy schmancy bottle of white wine that you can't use. So Sabachman, right, that's a joke. He says that our white wine is very high, just as quality. So it's better quality. So it's hard to say the white wine is no good. So yesh. So there are different opinions about this. So some follow the view of the Ramban. They try l'chatchila to avoid making kiddush on white wine. Many people do make a kiddush l'chatchila on white wine. There's one time when everybody is choshish to use white wine, and that's by chasna. Everybody has that custom that under the chuppah, they always use white wine. That has nothing to do with the sugya, it has to do with a very, very simple practical thing, that in case you're the Messiah Kedushin who spill some of the wine in the cow's rest, they're going to sue you if it's red wine. So therefore, the minhag became to use white wine. Although one time, I was Messiah Kedushin one time, and I was horrified to see that there was a red bottle of wine there, and I was shaking, which was not a good thing to do because that just enhances the chance of spilling the wine. But I remember I stood about 3 feet away from the cow there. I was holding that red wine. So next time it's supposed to be white wine. There was a custom actually in Europe in some communities that they would actually use white wine, but Leil HaSeder, even though we try to keep the standards of the Seder, the highest level of standards. And yet there were some communities that had that custom dafka because of the blood libels. They didn't want to give any pistol pet whatsoever to the goyim. They should have blood libels against us. But again, putting aside those extra halachic considerations, so it's the ikra din, everything is good. The chetchila went to some, red would be preferable. Whether that applies to Zana Zeh is up for grabs. So again, this is all assuming that I have two cups of wine on the table, or two cups of Borpre Gormis on the table. I have my red, I have my white, I have my grape juice, my white grape juice, my red grape juice, my white one, my white everything. So I'm trying to figure out which is the better of the two. So maybe I have an etzah. Maybe I can mix a little bit of the two. Maybe, let's say, a person really wants that white wine, but they prefer the white wine, but they're a little nervous about the Ramban. So they throw a little bit of red wine in for good luck. So the red wine will make the white wine turn colors. Now it's going to be red. So it won't lose that beautiful, delicious taste of the white wine. On the other hand, it's gonna have that reddish tint to it. So maybe that's a good idea. So that touches on a whole nother shot. That has nothing to do with Kiddush. That touches on a real Shabbos shot in terms of Malacha. Your goal is to color the white wine. Is that considered to be a problem? Believe it or not, if it's Seveya, you're not allowed to color things, not allowed to dye things, not allowed to paint on Shabbos Yom Tov. So maybe mixing the wines together, I'm trying to be so machmet to be yetzid, shittas Ramban, to make sure my wine is red. And by doing so, maybe you're in violation of a more serious problem. So is that even a concern? Does that make any sense at all? Is that even a problem of Seveya? So the Shulchan Aruch in the fourth of the Ramakamos quotes the following, Yesh Bisha Omer. There was an opinion that maintains Sha'ocha, this is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Mitz. Rabbi Elazar ben Mitz wrote the Sefer Yoreim, it was a Talmud of Rabbi Natam. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes, Yesh Bisha Omer, Sha'ocha Tusim O Sha'peris HaTzvuim. If a person is eating berries or other kinds of fruit that gets colored on your hands, Tzorach Lizorish Lo Yiga B'yad of Tzvuos B'begod of Obamapa B'shem Tzveya. He should be careful not to touch what he has. His reddish, he's got the strawberry, he's got the cherries, he's got everything on his red on his fingers. He shouldn't put them onto his clothing, or he shouldn't put his hands onto the tablecloth, because there's a chashash of tzeveya. But that's like coloring. You're dyeing the tablecloth. You're coloring your clothing. So first of all, there are many who say that's not necessarily correct. There's a Radvaz who disagrees with this whole bit and says that the whole thing is not true. That's not called meleches tzeveya for a very simple reason. That's what's called derech lichloch. Derech lichloch is a term that's actually borrowed from the sugya malabin, the sugya of cleaning clothing, where the halacha tells us that I'm not allowed to put any liquid, I'm not allowed to put water on my clothing on Shabbos. So the Rishon bothered with the question. The person poses the challenge, how could you dry your hands on a towel on Shabbos? Said, it's a garment, it's a fabric. It's not a garment like clothing, but it's fabric. And you're putting water onto a fabric. Isn't that a malacha of malabin? So Tosis quotes different answers to how to solve that problem. So they quote the name of Rabbeinu Tam. That's called malabin. That's called derech lichloch. You're dirtying the clothing. You're dirtying the towel. You're not cleaning the towel. The towel used to be clean, and now you dry hands a few times and it gets dirty. So derech lichloch is the antithesis of the malacha of malabin, and therefore it's going to be mutter. So the Rebbe says the same is true when it comes to coloring. The goal of coloring is to make something look nice. I want to take a paintbrush and make a beautiful, painting. I want to dye the wool to make it tchelos, make it red, make it purple. So that's what the melacha of tzeveya is. Here, I'm taking a nice clean tablecloth and I'm making some blotchy cherry and strawberry and pomegranate stains on it. That's not exactly a major piece of art. And therefore, that's not called derech tzeveya. That's the antithesis of tzeveya. It's derech lichloch, and that should be mutter. And not everyone agrees. Not everyone agrees to Tosfos, and not everyone agrees to the extrapolation of the Radbaz. So the Rav Elazar Mitz was the Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam. He knew what his Rebbe said about kibbutz being derech lichloch, being mutter, and he still said it's a problem by tzeveya. So probably he didn't think that was a good comparison. He says you have to be careful when you put your hands on the tablecloth, etc. So many places can say that even according to that first view, which not everyone agrees to, even according to this chum review, that only applies to something like a tablecloth, like a cloth napkin or something that's going to be around for a while. If you have a paper napkin, so you put your hands on a paper napkin, it gets the napkin a little bit red or something, the napkin's over into the garbage. In a second, that's like Eino Shokayama Klal Klal, according to some. It's such an Eino Shokayama, it's going to be so temporary, it's going to ramish into the garbage, so maybe that's not considered to be a problem. I think most people follow. Most people never heard of this. Been in the Shulchan Aruch, the Yesh Bisha Omer. Most people are not so careful, because today, most of us dry hands with the paper napkins. It's interesting, that Shabbos a few weeks ago, and we went to that Simcha, so they had nice, fancy white napkins at the table, and I was eating something that got all over my hands. I thought to myself, oh my God, this is my opportunity to fulfill this Yesh Bisha Omer in the Shulchan Aruch. So I tried to look around for a tissue to try to dry off my hands. So the first day of the Shulchan Aruch is that maybe one shouldn't do it. However, the Shulchan Aruch says that even those who are machmed, even the Sefer Yoreim himself concedes, about tzeveya pita b'mashke pei reslaista v'adein tzvi b'oichlin. However, what if a person has his hands are all dirty with the red and the purple juice, and he touches bread, so the bread gets colored. So he says, that's a joke, ain't tzeveya b'oichlin. That's not considered to be malach. A malach of tzeveya doesn't apply to food items. That's not considered to be malach altogether. And therefore, that's perfectly okay. So many people can say, oh, you see from this Shulchan Aruch that even the Machmirim, even those who wouldn't even necessarily follow the first few, but even the Machmirim who said you have to be careful not to touch your hands to the napkin, to the white cloth napkin, but to touch your hands to the bread, is that the gom? It's ain't tzeveya b'oichlin. If you borrow that concept, ain't tzeveya b'oichlin, maybe that should permit the going of the mixing of the two grape juices as well. So other Achrayim say, no, not the same at all. In this case, the guy doesn't want to be tzeveya anything. The whole thing is a joke. The guy wants to eat his pomegranate, and he happens to have some piece of cake to get over his pomegranate. So he's not being kavanas tzeveya. But here, that's what I'm doing it for. I'm mixing the purple with the white to make it purple, to be yotzei the machmirim. So maybe that should be a problem. So that's not 100% clear what we should do about this. The Mishnah Berurah is a little bit hesitant about this. Mishnah Berurah is not so fast to say Ein Soveh Ba'Eichlin. And therefore, according to many, this is not necessarily the best idea. So either you have to choose. You want to be a red one, you want a white one, don't. And there are some who do mix the two to accomplish this feat of making it into red, and others are a little bit weary about doing this because maybe this would be a violation, some kind of a therapeutic extension of perhaps Malachas today. So getting back to our story, so we have two bottles in front of us. So we have a white wine versus the red, purple grape juice. So there's Svaros the Kalukan. Said some would prefer the wine because the wine has the maila of the Sefer Chinuch, it's Ma'orim, Sameach, etc. Also, this is Shabbos morning. This particular case was Shabbos morning, we're even a little bit more makil on the white wine. It's like Mamadina, so the white wine has something definitely to say about that. On the other hand, the grape juice is red and purple, whatever, reddish, purplish, whatever color grape juice is. So the grape juice does have that maila in terms of that. So it's not 100% clear what should win out if you have a choice between the two. But here, the shadow became even more complicated. Why? Because even if it would be true, which again, far from true, even if it would be 100% true, that white wine is better for Kiddush, objectively better for Kiddush than the regular grape juice. But here I had the grape juice in my hand already. So if a person has the grape juice in their hand, so that touches on a whole other issue called Ein Mavrin al Mitzvos. When a person is about to do a mitzvah with something, so you're not supposed to stop and change course and take something else to do that mitzvah. That's considered to be a disgrace to the item of a mitzvah. So there's a big machlek to Zaposkim. What if you have the following conflict? I'm about to start to do a mitzvah with something, and I want to stop using that object to put another object. Why? Because the second object is more of a hiddur. The second object is actually a better mitzvah. It's a more beautiful, better way to beautify the mitzvah. So now you have almost like a clash between two different principles that govern halacha. On the one hand, you have Ein Mavrin al Mitzvos, which would dictate to you not to stop and just use that which you have. On the other hand, you have the Hiddur Mitzvah dimension, which would probably point the direction, you know, to go for the better of the two. So which wins out? Which is more important, Ein Mavrin al Mitzvos or Hiddur Mitzvah? So the original source for this discussion in Shulchan Aruch appears in a place very, very far from this time of the year, in the middle of Hilchos Chanukah. It's my Hilchos Chanukah. So the poskim quote a tshuva from the Shvus Yaakov, discuss the following shayla. We know the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos that lechatchila one is supposed to use shemen zayis, olive oil, for Neres Chanukah. The reason that most people think is not the reason the Gemara says. The reason the Gemara says is because it burns clear, because the flame is better. It makes it more beautiful, more steady flame. The later reason that some of the Chachamim had on, this is Zechel Neis, the menorah, that's another reason. That's not what it says in the Gemara. That's why there are more quotes. The practice was that if you have a good, solid candle that has a very, very good flame, it's even better than the olive oil. So the Ramah writes, it's also the chachilah, because you're going with the reason of the Gemara. So then what's the difference? It's nothing special about olive oil. It was olive oil. It's simply because whatever makes the nicer flame. So again, there are different opinions about this. So the Shvus Yaakov quotes the following shayla. A person's standing in a sonic, he's making a bracha, baruch adah, and he set up all the candles already. But these candles are not the greatest. They're not what do you want from me? He doesn't have olive oil. And all of a sudden, somebody comes, the kohen comes running in, the chasam shogayim comes running in with the olive oil, and the candles are all set in the menorah. Should he dismantle the whole menorah and then start filling up oil on that? So the Shvus Yaakov and the Chacham Tzvi had a whole machlekes. What do you do under these circumstances? So on the one hand, you set up the candles already. Take the candles and put them back into the boxes. So these are into the mitzvah. That's not the proper cover to the mitzvah. On the other hand, I'm doing it in order to enhance the beauty of the mitzvah. So wouldn't that make sense to do that? So that was a big machlekes acharonim. So they start to bring riyas, wild riyas back and forth. The Gemara talks about if they shechted the paraduma, then they realize that they can get a nice paraduma. They didn't finish it. They still shechted it, and now they got a nice one. We've been trying for 2,000 years to find a paraduma. Now they have two, and they did the wrong one, and now should they use the one that they started with, or should they go for the better one? So the Gemara has a whole discussion about that. So the Chacham start pulling back and forth and back and forth in terms of how far this Ein Mavrin al Mitzvos goes in light of the issue of Hiddur Mitzvah. So I thought at this point, as I'm sitting there with a cup of wine in my hand, a couple of grapes in my hand, I was thinking, this is the same kind of a shayla. Because here, even if you want to tell me that the white wine is better, Lamais, I'm holding on to the grape juice already. So when I finished, I told one of my sons, the social authorities, he said, you weren't really making Kiddush yet. You were just saying Bishamru. Bishamru is not really part of Kiddush. I said, it's true, but Lamais, I'm standing there with a couple of wine, grape juice in my hand. So it's hard to be Machriya. So there were, again, three different parts of the shayla that were all converging together. That on the one hand, the white wine has certain milas because it's wine. On the other hand, the grape juice has certain milas because it's the red color. The contradiction, almost like a steer between the two. And now there's another factor, even assuming that the white wine is objectively better in halacha, but I've already picked up the grape juice first. So which principle wins out? That's a big machlokes achron. So it was very hard to come up with a clear cut achra before I finished saying it's a little bit hard to schlep out saying shomru. So I figured a shave out that. We'll do what I got. We'll make kiddush on the grape juice in my hand and try. So afterwards, I realized that this shaila that eim avir la mitzvahs, that you have to reckon with eim avir la mitzvahs. It's a tricky cheshbin. That sometimes other factors come into play when you have aim of real mitzvahs. So it reminded me that it was very strange because this particular simcha is at the family simcha. So that was a, this was a it was a sheva brachas, shabbos sheva brachas. But the two younger brothers of the one of my nephews. So the two younger brothers, when they were born, they were twins. One of my wife's brothers has twin boys. So at their bris, so the bris of twins, they happened to be that it was on Purim. And they had one of the strangest aim of real mitzvah shilas. I think this family is good for real mitzvahs. That they brought out the wrong twin first. That instead, usually the minhag is you do the meal on the older twin for the younger twin. Somebody wasn't so whatever it was, they brought out the younger twin first. And now the shilas was, what do you do? So the mohel said you have to do the bris on the younger one first because that's mash emir la mitzvahs. Mitzvah bal yadcha, you're not supposed to stop and change for somebody else. So it got a little labor dick because the person who was supposed to be the sandik for the older baby wanted dafka to be the older baby, supposed to be named after his father. The whole complicated, whole convoluted cheshbonos. So I remember at the time, Baruch Hashem didn't take place in my shul, another shul. So I remember the rav at the time paskin that the legabi the mohel. Is a shalav emir v'ilam mitzvahs because the mohel was supposed to do both brisim. So for him, he's bound by the din emir v'ilam mitzvahs. The sandik, even though the baby was ready on his knees, and then they realized it was the wrong baby, so they thought that wasn't emir v'ilam mitzvahs vis-a-vis him because he was only planning on doing one baby. So emir v'ilam mitzvahs means I'm going to do two mitzvahs, so I'm going to do two. I have two chafots from here. I mean, it's my grandson, but I wasn't planning on being the sandik for this baby. I wanted to be the sandik for the other baby. It was a sandik of pitos. So he gave the baby back. And the second time they came to pinch it, then he came in back for the second baby, which is really the first baby. I remember there were many people that day who were joking, it was a Purim, who were joking, that was the Nafach who in the fullest sense of the word. So I guess there was something about Eim Avril HaMitzvahs that seems to keep on cropping up with this family's simchas. So this was significantly less dramatic than that. So that definitely less, tension in the air of my wife whining and grapefish going to what the world I was talking about. But at least it made it to a Shia. So at least we have to have a little bit of Nafkaminas Ladin, a little bit from some of this rather strange Hashem.
Why the Kiddush? We only have one mitzvah, but Kiddush.
So it's almost like the Gemara quotes one opinion that says that you lay the Megillah on other Rishon, not on other Sheni, because Eim Avir LaMitzvahs. And the only reason we don't pause like that is because we want to chop right that Mila of Samach LePesach. But if not, even say it's only one mitzvah, we're going to lay the Megillah once. And after Bichain, you have to choose the first one because the Shah Bim Avril Mitzvah. So that's part of the
Zim. I
think the Gemara quotes it. I think the Gemara quotes it. I don't remember. Let's take a look. I don't remember anymore. Okay.
Why isn't the decision based on what the Mekadesh likes more?
It's also, okay. You're right. That's also a factor. So I have to like the white wine better. So maybe.